Father in heaven, we praise you and worship you as the creator, the ruler of the universe, and our Lord and our God, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Deliverer. Father, we thank you for this day of worship. We thank you so that in spite of the heavy rain just now, you've enabled each one of us to be present this day. We look to you for a time of rich blessing, and we ask that you will continue to speak to us. We pray that your words will be received by hearts that are eager to do your will. Oh Father, we thank you for our privilege. The privilege as your children to come before your holy presence by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even now, Father, we ask that you cleanse us from all our sins. We pray that you protect us and cover us with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Protect us from the attacks of the evil one, that you will not be able to hinder us in our time of worship. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we bind Satan and the powers of darkness and forbid them to hinder us in any way to distract us from our time of worship and our time of meditation in your word. Father, we pray that you will continue to transform our lives as we wait upon you. Help us, Father, that the things that we hear, we may really hearken to your truth, that we will not receive them in vain. We thank you, Father, that you are a generous God, and you do not withhold good things from your children. Help us that we may learn to cooperate with you, to receive what you intend to give to us with deep gratitude. Thank you again for this time, and we wait upon you and ask that you speak to us and guide us by your Spirit. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm thankful for your prayer support, as I did mention, of further considering of the subject of patience, because after the first message I had a few points left, and I'm thankful for the time of reflection, because as I further reflected, there are a few areas which I thought it helpful to clarify, elaborate further, and there are other thoughts that also came which I felt would make the treatment of the subject more wholesome. So I intend to continue with this subject of patience as the fruit of the Spirit of God, and to look to the Lord together that he may help us, that we may understand how more fully to cooperate with God, that this virtue may grow in our lives and be more consistently reflected as we come to understand more clearly what it means and how to cooperate with God in this area. I will first summarize the first message, as the second message is closely linked to the first one. So I'll go through the points quite quickly. In the first message, we looked at patience as part of the fruit of the Spirit expressed in Galatians 5 verse 22, and we saw how it is a rather important quality to effective Christian living. And it's not a quality which we can just say whether we have it or we don't have it, because it's something that all of us actually need to continue to grow in a deeper experience of it. And it is a virtue in the sense that it is something that does require human cooperation, and it's not just something that happens to us, but something that arises as we learn how to cooperate with God. I'll touch a little bit more on this afterwards. But to elaborate a bit more on the aspect of importance of this quality in Christian living, because we know as we seek to serve the Lord in the context of a fallen world, the presence of the powers of darkness and frailties of human flesh, we know that we can often be provoked, we can often be impatient and act in a way that is rash. And we see that failures in this area can be rather serious, as failures in this area can result in words, actions that are dishonoring to God, as well as situations and actions that may arise which can have serious consequences. It can hurt our relationship with people, our relationship with God, as well as damage to God's work. And failure can also lead to a strong sense of depression, self-condemnation. We also saw how patience is important as we seek to work out our lives together, important to the unity of the body and fellowship in the body of Christ. in seeking to consider the meaning of patience, we have tried to consider patience not just in the sense of how the people in the world may look at it, but in terms of the biblical sense that the Bible commends. When the Bible commends patience, what does it mean? And we saw how it does not mean inaction due to fear or unhealthy motives or just a natural disposition to be slow to respond, passive or irresponsible, or that our faculties are dull and we are complacent. Neither is it just a mere feeling within us, a feeling of impatience. But we saw how, as we sort of understand patience, I've given a brief description, which later on I would intend to elaborate further, because I felt that perhaps it's not sufficiently adequate and clear. But in the first message, we considered how patience has a lot to do with how we learn to control ourselves, that we do not lose our self-control under provoking, painful or pressurizing circumstances, but how we are able to depend upon God to consider and to take the most suitable course of action rather than just a reactive or emotional response to a situation. We are willing and able to wait for God's timing. We are not rash, but forbearing, steadfast, with endurance, and also all this together with a sense of joy and peace in our hearts, not with a deep sense of frustration and depression, although at the same time we can be deeply concerned and burdened in our hearts for the situation. We also saw how, although we may be patient at times, there may be drastic, severe actions that we may need to take, but after careful consideration and convinced that this is what God desires, and there's a time when we may need to act. And God, who is patient, would also punish the unrepentant and discipline us and chastise us without losing his patience. We also saw how patience has a lot to do with ability to trust God's sovereignty and God's undertaking and trusting and the whole matter to God, that as we walk with him, we can trust that all things will work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We also noted how we have been quite careful in this aspect, in what we think of others, how we should not easily just brand other people as impatient because we may not fully understand their context. As we saw in the case of Job, how if you just look at some of the words he expressed, he seems rather impatient, and how he cursed the day he was born, and other remarks that he made. And yet Job was cited in the New Testament as an example for us in the book of James, how he endured, and in the context of the discussion of patience, the quality of patience, Job was cited to us as an example. And in fact, in this context, I see it as rather helpful as we consider this subject to carefully look to the Lord, that he may speak to us how we can learn from him, rather than our minds trying very hard to see how best someone else can benefit from these remarks and how they are most applicable to so and so. This will not in any way help us at all, but we should first of all seek to learn humbly from the Lord the relevance to our own lives. How it's easy for us to have a tendency to excuse ourselves and yet at the same time to be very harsh and strict with other people. Let us be careful in this regard, that humbly we learn to look to the Lord to teach us. We also saw a number of points how the Bible does encourage us unto patience, and there are a few points that if we bear in mind may help us to learn to exercise patience, especially when it is difficult. We saw how the sense of the fact that God is omnipresent, he's always with us, no matter what situation we may be going through, is an encouragement to us to exercise patience as we look to the Lord, that he's together with us as we trust him. The other is the sense of the nearness of his coming again, the Lord's second coming, when God will, as a righteous judge, sort out all things, that we need not act out of a sense of impatience on our own when we find the situation difficult. We saw also how patience finds favor with God, and is something precious to everyone who loves the Lord. We saw also that patiently going through situations the Lord allow us to go through, it's also very helpful for our character development, even though it may be very difficult. We also saw how There are various blessings of God which does not come to us unless we patiently wait and work at it in order to enter fully into them, to receive them. We also saw how God's work often requires patience, and some work of God may require many years of patient laboring without much visible fruit. But as we earnestly, obediently follow the Lord's leading, we know that our toil in the Lord will not be in vain. We also saw how now in spiritual growth and transformation, whether it be in our own lives or in the lives of others, this also takes time and requires patience. Also in the case of spiritual warfare, at times it can be intense, at times it can be long and very difficult, and requires patience to continue to diligently pray and actively cooperate with God to work out our lives before Him, whether it be for ourselves and the struggles we go through, or in our concern and laboring for the deliverance of others and being together with them in their struggles. We then considered about how we can become more patient, how we can develop patience. And we saw how, just as in the area of faith, and in fact this is an area that will apply to various aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, that we cannot just consider it as something that God gives to us. On the other hand, we cannot just rely on ourselves. We cannot just cry out to God to make us patient, because God calls us to exercise patience. On the other hand, just merely on our own trying to exercise patience, we'll find that it will be futile, because human strength and the natural patience is sadly inadequate, far from adequate, especially in the context of spiritual pressure. But we see how patience develops and is exercised properly as men learn to strive according to the power of God. As we cry out to God to enable us to go through the situation on our own, we cooperate with God, and we need to exercise patience according to the enabling of God. Crying out to God to help us, and yet obedient to Him and willing to let His Spirit lead us, strengthen us, and do a deeper work in our lives, that our character may be transformed, that the fruit of the Spirit, of patience, may be more and more manifested through our lives in the many contexts and situations that the Lord allows us to go through. We also saw how, especially during difficult moments, it's very important to be careful not just to heed how the feelings that we may have, but learn to look at the situation objectively, and also in our prayers, not only to God, but also to pray against the powers of darkness who may seek to provoke us, to arouse us, to act in a way that is displeasing to God and to lose our patience. And we need not only to fully submit to God, but also to resist the attacks of the evil one in this area. Today I'll go on to share with you some further reflections on this subject. In the first message, in the description of the meaning of patience, I mentioned about not losing our self-control under provoking, painful, pressurizing circumstances. As I further reflected on it, I felt that this description is not sufficiently clear in covering a major aspect in the exercise of patience. Although in the first message, to some degree, I did mention about this area, but the manner of description of the meaning of patience, I felt, didn't cover this area in a reasonably clear way, sufficiently clear. And this important area, I would like to emphasize, is the area of exercising of patience to work at something patiently, carefully, without giving up easily over a period of time. The ability to continue to work at something that we know the Lord desires of us. We work at it patiently and carefully without easily giving up. So it's not a question of just restraining from hasty reaction or under provocation, but patience has the positive element of continuing to work at situations. You work at situations in a patient manner. Whether they are provocating situations or pressurizing circumstances or not, we still continue to work at it. They may not be particularly provoking or pressurizing circumstances, but it requires patience to continue to work at certain aspects that God requires of us. And this is important in God's work as well as in Christian living and Christian growth. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 6 verse 15, I think this sense of the meaning of patience does come true. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 15, this is in the context of Abraham and his walk with God. And it says, "And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise." And thus, having patiently waited, he waited patiently. So this is not in the context of provocations and all that, but there is a steadfast confidence in God and continuing in a life pleasing before God and patiently waiting for what God promised. So this sense does come true of patience in the sense of steadfastness in the way he waited for God's promise in faith. Now this positive sense of patiently working at something can be reflected in different areas of our lives, and in fact it is a rather important virtue that we need to cultivate. For example, a very major aspect of our lives, you know, is an area of quiet time. Our time in prayer to God, worship of God, our time of reading the scriptures. All of us recognize that this is very important. And this is an area in which we need to patiently, steadfastly, in a disciplined way, continue to observe and to work at it. At times it can be very difficult, at times it may not be very difficult, but in our feelings you may feel a bit dull. You know, we wake up and it may become a bit routine, and we may just not feel like doing it. At the same time there can be various difficulties that may come about. At times we may find relaxed sleep, and various interruptions, various difficulties, lack of privacy, many difficulties may also arise. But whether it is very difficult or it's not particularly difficult, but just beginning a feel of a sense of it being tedious, the important thing is we have to patiently, steadfastly continue to exercise ourselves in this direction, regardless of how we feel, and this is important. Another area would be the area of responsibilities. Responsibilities that the Lord entrusts to us. There are various responsibilities that we have to continue to work at. It may not be very exciting, but it's important that we have this quality. We recognize that this is what the Lord desires of us. We have to fulfill it, and we need patience to continue to persevere, to fulfill our responsibilities well. Prayer is also an area that may not be easy at times. It can at times be rather difficult, but it's an area that we need to continue to persevere, to seek, to wait upon the Lord to help us to grow, to develop in this area. And in general everyday living, in Christian growth and Christian living, there can be many times in our lives whereby there may be certain periods in our lives that may be seemingly dull or comparatively uneventful, quiet periods. Not a lot of upheavals. Now, during such moments, it is rather important that we do not slacken and become complacent, but rather we need to patiently continue to work out according to all we understand. It's not just that we have not lost our temper, but to be patient during such situations means that we have to continue to work at all that we understand. A patient working at all that we understand, all that the Lord desires of us, without slackening, without losing our vigilance, and active cooperation with God with all earnestness. Now this may sound easy, it's not a particularly difficult time. Why is it so difficult to endure and to go through a time like this? But sometimes we are able to endure in very difficult times, but when the times are not particularly taxing and difficult, we may find that we begin to lose our vigilance, our earnestness, our zeal for God. And it may not be an easy thing, as many of us, if we are prayerful about it, as we go through life, we may be aware of this point. In fact, this point was stuck home so much so to a brother who recently shared with me. He has been going through quite a lot of difficult struggles in the spiritual attack. And during the attacks, when it's rather severe, he found that he had to exercise himself very hard. But when it becomes easier, he found that it was very easy for him to slacken and to lose his vigilance. And he did say that at times he wondered whether he should just continue to be under those kind of spiritual attacks so that he can maintain the vigilance. Because the moment the attacks begins to ease off, he finds himself losing the vigilance and the earnestness and the real wholehearted working at his life. Now, of course, the answer doesn't lie in a desire to carry on being attacked by the evil one in that kind of way, because that hinders our life. But the important point is to learn to cultivate this aspect of patiently working out in earnestness before God and not to slacken when times are easier. And this is something that even in the general non-Christian circles, we can also understand this point about how a mother in a very unexciting situation have to patiently work at the household chores, patiently look after the children and all the mischief and all the mess that they make in the whole house, and all the clothes they have to wash and then they will dirty again, and the floor you just mop and then they will dirty again, and you patiently have to carry on working at these things. So even in non-Christian circles, we recognize this quality. But for Christians to work out these things properly, it requires conviction and stamina. It's not an easy thing. It requires real conviction before we can really continue to persevere in this direction. I mentioned just now about how the people of this world also does recognize this trait. And the people of the world not only do have recognize this aspect, but they also recognize the importance of this trait of patience in the human living, and how we can then be successful in our lives. I'll tell you a story here. The story is may not be exactly like this if you somehow one day you come across this story, but because of memory and for suitability of expression, I may have modified a little bit, but it doesn't really matter so long as you enjoy the story and it helps you. The story of this very impatient young fighter. He is quite capable actually in his skills, and he has the physique and the constitution and the talent to learn how to fight very well. And he was actually progressing quite fast, but he was not able to go very far. But one day he met an old man, and this old man is a real expert in fighting skills. And for some reason, I do not want to elaborate, this young man had to follow the instruction of this old man. And this old man wanted to help him to become a really top-class fighter. But instead of helping him and imparting to him the skills, this is what the old man commanded him to do, commanded this young man, because he knew there's one very important thing that he has to teach this young man before he can really become a really good, reliable fighter. And so he brought this young man to a very huge rock, and then he also gave him a small statue, a beautiful small statue, and he said, "I want you to hew at this rock," and it's a very hard rock, and he gave him some small implements that he need to hew at this huge rock, and at the end of it to produce a small statue. In other words, to knock at this huge rock and slowly knock it away until it becomes a small beautiful statue. And when this young man saw it, he nearly fainted. That was about the most difficult thing that you can ask of him. He said, "You can ask me to do anything, I will do it. How hard, run, anything I will do. But how can you ask me to do this? It's just impossible to do it." And he's just impatient to acquire the skills. But this old man knew better, and he said, "You have to do it." And so because he was under obligation to obey this old man, this young man was very, very angry, and when he first started, he just anyhow, you know, slammed at the thing. But as time passes by, and days pass by, the old man was always watching, and whenever he doesn't do it properly, will give him whacks here and there. So he had to learn slowly to chisel away the thing, and after a long time, slowly, he was able to produce this very fine-looking statue that resembles the one that the old man showed to him. But it took a long time. But in the midst of the very long time that this young man was chiseling away at this big rock to produce a small statue, a lot of those inward turmoil and frustration and impatience that were within him were also being dealt with. And after he had finished with this statue, making this statue, the old man was in a position to teach him, because by now he had become calm. He no longer had that impatient kind of spirit. He also no longer easily provoked as in the past. But now he was able to learn, to persevere in the training, no matter how difficult, patiently he was able to endure through the training. And later on, when he acquired all the skills, he was also not easily provoked under different situations, but ability to be calm, to consider before he acts, so that he could become a really great fighter. Not just great in the sense of ability to fight well, but ability to conduct himself well. And in our lives also, the Lord knows that there are many things we desire to enter into, but he also has a lot of work that he needs to do in our lives, to produce within us true patience. But take note here that in the Christian context, although there's some similarity with the non-Christian sense, Christian quality of patience is rather different. And one primary difference has to do with the fact that in Christian patience, it requires spiritual strength and spiritual enabling, divine enabling, which is something that no matter how the non-Christians strive towards, they can never attain this. And no matter how patient you may be by natural disposition or by the worldly ways of training, without spiritual patience, as I mentioned, especially in the context of spiritual pressure and warfare, you will crumble. Well, I mentioned just now about this other area which I felt was not sufficiently clearly covered in the earlier description on the meaning of patience. I would now attempt to try to consider together with you again the meaning of patience, in terms of trying to frame it in a way that will be more comprehensive in its coverage of different contexts. Well, I may still have missed out other things, but as I try to understand what then is patience, what is at the heart of it? As I reflected, it seems to me that the situation may not be very provoking or pressurizing in the normal sense of it, of these terms of provocation and pressurizing, and yet there may still be a need for us to exercise patience. So what then is this thing that requires exercise of patience, and how does it work out? As I see, although the exercise of patience may be called into question, even though the situations may not be very provoking or pressurizing, but as I see, it seems to me that there must be something in the situation that does call forth the exercise of this virtue. There must be something. If not, you wouldn't be exercising patience if there's nothing in it. So what is this something? So as I thought about it, it seems to me that there must be some kind of difficulty that you need to overcome. And in your ability to overcome it, patience is being exercised. There must be some kind of difficulty present that you need to overcome. So I will then put it this way, that the heart of it, in our exercising of patience, we are conducting ourselves as we should. Now, as we should here has to do with the Lord's revelation, what the Lord desires for our lives. How we conduct ourselves as we should in the face of factors that tend to make us do otherwise. So there are factors present that tend to make us do otherwise, but yet we continue to exercise ourselves as we should. That is the exercise of patience. Now, the various factors can include many things. It can be circumstances, it can be the conduct of others, it can be our own passions aroused from within us. But there must be certain things that tend to make us do otherwise. Now, this can be provoking situations, it can be pressurizing, or it can be just the patient working at something, laboring, praying. Now, this also, as I mentioned, if you have a certain period of time that requires you to patiently work at it, the tendency is for us not to. And yet we persevere. That is exercise of patience. We are still conducting ourselves in a manner that we should, although there's a tendency for us to do otherwise. Now, just doing something in someone enjoying himself very much in a hobby, and he's so thrilled with it, so absorbed in the thrill of it, seems to me that it's not so much a question of exercise of patience, but enjoying himself or just absorbed in something. But it seems to me that this quality, this virtue, is being exercised when, as I mentioned, the factors that tend to make us do otherwise, but yet we still persevere. Or another way of putting it, there's a pull, or there's something that tends to make us to cease doing what we ought to do. It may be something tedious, it may be something that's not exciting, it may be something difficult. There's something that tends to make us cease doing what we ought, or to do what we ought not. And the exercise of patience overcome this obstacle. Things that tends to make us cease doing what we ought to do, or to do what we ought not. So make us cease from what we ought to do, and we carry on doing it, and we are patiently working at it. The other is something that tends to make us do what we ought not, like arousing our passions, and we then act in a manner displeasing to God. Tend to make us do what we ought not, but yet we still carry on. In patience, we overcome this obstacle. Another way of putting at it would be a tendency or pull to move in a direction that is not so good. A direction that is not so good. But our ability, in reliance upon God, to resist this move or this pull in that direction that is not so good, our ability in dependence upon God to resist and then to maintain the proper course that God desires of us. That is the exercise of patience. And here I'd like to mention that impatience can occur even when our motives are good and our goals are good. So we need to carefully, prayerfully look to the Lord in different situations of life, because impatience is always something that God is displeased with. So sometimes we may become blurred by the whole thing, thinking that because our motives are good, our goals are good, it is alright. But the manner of approach is important. The manner of approach. For example, we want to build God's kingdom, but if we are impatient and we want fast results, we are not in tune with God and we do not do what He desires, or we are impatient for His timing, then it is not something that God is pleased with and is an expression of impatience, although the motives may be good. A father may be concerned for the child's development, but if the father is not patient and the manner of treatment of the child can be very discouraging to the child and can make it very difficult for the child to respond. So it requires patience, even though your motives may be good. But here it is helpful to recognize the need to consider the condition of the particular person when we are trying to consider whether it's an act of impatience or not. It's helpful to bear in mind the need to consider the condition of the particular person. What I mean is this, that there may be two people or two persons and two similar outward acts. Outwardly, both of them acted in exactly the same way. You cannot distinguish at all from the two actions. They're exactly the same. They respond exactly to two identical set of circumstances. And yet, one may be impatient and the other not impatient. Now, why is this so? It's important to recognize that this may be so. Now, why is this so? Well, there can be various reasons, but one reason can be that the difference is due to difference in understanding. So one of them, he acts in all sincerity. He believes that this is a proper way to respond to the situation, and he does so. In reliance upon, he believes that this is a correct thing to do, and he does so. Now, that would not be impatience. Even though he may have done something that is not really the best, but he thought it was the best in all sincerity, he did it. Not out of sense of rashness or anything like that, but perhaps it could be due to lack of knowledge or a wrong judgment of the situation. Whereas another person may be acting exactly the same way, but he knows that he ought not to act in that way. He recognized it as unwise, he just couldn't wait. On the basis of his understanding, he knows it's not yet time to act, but he still acts. So the two acts are exactly the same. But one recognizing it's not yet time, but just couldn't wait and acts upon it, it will be impatience. But the other, in all sincerity, believing this is the best course of action to take and does so, that would not be impatience. Well, this follows the next point related, is that merely acting when we ought not, or there is not yet time to act, this need not be impatience. The mere fact that someone acts because, and although it's not yet the right time, or he ought not do it, that does not necessarily mean it's impatience. Of course, it means the action is not the best, but that need not be because of failure in the area of patience. For example, as I mentioned earlier on, it could be genuine wrong judgment of the situation, or wrong understanding of the situation, misunderstanding of certain things. All these are possibilities. I now want to go on to another major aspect, and that is to consider together with you factors affecting our exercise of patience. Few factors that I'd like to consider together with you, and you'll find that some of these factors are rather relevant also in our desire to develop patience, to consider them. And briefly, I'll list them first and then consider them with you in more detail. The first factor I see is the factor of love and the quality of love. Secondly is how difficult are the circumstances. Thirdly, I find there are two rather related areas but of major significance which I'd like to consider with you in more detail. I see as very important for all those of us who desire to develop patience. And that's the area of spiritual strength, firstly, and secondly, in the area of spiritual maturity and stability. I'll now consider together with you this factor, of the first factor of love. It's actually very helpful to understand the motivation behind the exercise of patience. Why do we exercise patience? Why is it important? And it's important to recognize that at the heart of it, you must be motivated by love. Because you love, that is why you do not want to react in that kind of manner, because it's destructive. Because of love, you patiently work at something, although it's difficult. Although there's a tendency to move in another direction that is not so good, you will refrain from doing so because you love. So the motivating factor of love is very important, and the other is the quality of love. How strong is your love? Well, I'll elaborate a bit more here. Firstly, we find that the passage we looked at earlier in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, talks about how God is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God is patient, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now, why is it that God is patient? He tells us because he does not wish for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now, it's very clear here that that is an expression of his love. Because he loves, that is why he does not wish for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so he's patient. Although God, in many ways, you can say that the sins and the many terrible wickedness, wicked acts and many things in the world, God finds it very hard to bear, and his heart is very grieved. Yet, because of his love, he exercises patience. Well, one illustration of this manifestation we can see in the book of Jonah. Let's turn to the book of Jonah. Jonah is just before Micah, after Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. The book of Jonah, and we know that here, in the book of Jonah, the Lord had commanded Jonah to preach to Nineveh, and Jonah tried to run away from the Lord because he didn't want to preach to Nineveh, because he didn't want them to repent so that the Lord would forgive them. And in fact, Jonah finally, after going through a very unusual experience in the storm and ending up in the stomach of the big fish or sea monster, how he finally went and preached to the city of Nineveh, and they did repent. But instead of rejoicing, Jonah was very upset. He was greatly displeased. Chapter 4 of Jonah. Jonah was very displeased with the whole matter. And verse 2 says, "And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Please, Lord, Was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I know that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. I knew that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, the love of God, the compassion of God, the grace of God, slow to anger. The slow to anger there is actually the expression, is one that is closely linked to the exercise of patience. Slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. And if you look at objectively the whole context, it's quite clear that God is exercising his patience in not wanting to destroy the Ninevites, but in patience he continued to withhold his judgment and send Jonah to preach to them so that they can repent and the disaster averted. So God here was testing his patience out of his love, his compassion, his grace towards them. Of course, in this context, we find that Jonah's attitude was not right and he was displeased. Now, in our case, this motivating factor of love, the love that motivates our patience, basically, it first has to start off with the love for God, and then secondly, the love of man. The love for God and the love for man is what properly motivates true patience, as revealed in the scriptures. True patience. Not for bad motives, not for selfish reasons, not just for some queer kind of ideas that we have, but in the biblical presentation of it, true patience is exercised and motivated by purity of love for God and for man. And as 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us, love is patient. Love is patient. So one of the factors that affects how well we are able to exercise ourselves in difficult times, in exercise of patience, one of the ingredients is how strong is our love. What is the quality of our love? Here the quality of our love has to do with our quality of love for God and the love for man. And this would affect how far we are willing to go, how far we are willing to go, to be stretched before it snaps. How far are we willing to go? Of course, there are other factors which I'll go into afterwards, but this is one important factor, the quality of love. Now, that is why you read these biographies and autobiographies, we are often very impressed with godly men, great men of God through the ages. How they are able to toil patiently under very difficult circumstances, maybe very unfavorable, at times very taxing, very pressurizing, and yet patiently they'll continue to toil on faithfully. Why? If you examine their lives, you'll find that there's one very strong reason that motivates them, and that is the depth of their love for God and for men. There's no other selfish reasons that they have that can sustain them under those kind of contexts, or concern for personal ease and personal pleasures and personal inclinations, but out of deep sense of love for God and man. I'll now go on to the second area that affects us, and that is how difficult the circumstances. The difficulty, the intensity of the difficulties in the situation will affect the difficulty in the exercising of the patience, and it's helpful to bear this in mind, that we understand ourselves as well as understand the struggles that others have to go through. So here, I want to briefly list a few factors. One would be areas like the physical areas. For example, illness, especially some kinds of illnesses, may tend to make us rather easily irritated. Then there's the emotional state of the person. Now this can be linked to illness, it can be linked to various other pressures and other things that come to our life. So that the person is actually in a situation, and we know the same person is not always the same in this area of exercise of patience. We know there are, well, some of us who do, or many of us probably, will have employers of one kind or another, and it's common for employees, when you want to talk to the boss or want to ask a favor from the boss or want to discuss something, to whisper amongst one another to find out whether the boss is in a good mood or not. If it's a good mood, well, you can go in. If it's not a good mood, you better wait your time. Now, why is this so? Because if he's not in a good mood, he is easily irritable. But he's the same man. But one day he may be like this, another day he may be another way. Not because he's become more patient. So, in the same way for us, as Christians, we are also often affected by various factors. And I say sometimes a person, when he's ill, he can also be more easily irritable. Well, another factor has to do with, which is more important for us as Christians, is the degree or the intensity of the spiritual pressure that we are going through. And this is where we need to try our best to be understanding towards our brethren and to pray for them, to support them, and not to be too critical. To try to understand that some of us do undergo greater pressures and we need support, and not just quickly be very judgmental. This person, you know, the life is so bad, so impatient and all that. But the degree and the intensity of the spiritual pressure of the powers of darkness upon this person, and it need not always be the same kind of pressure. Sometimes it can be certain circumstances. They may try very hard to provoke the person. Sometimes directly, by acting on the emotions, by acting on the thought life, to provoke the person. But sometimes it can be indirectly, to various situations, to provoke this person. So this can aggravate the circumstances. It can be rather difficult for the person to exercise himself or herself. Another point in this area of difficulty in circumstances is helpful to bear in mind is that different ones of us are more easily provoked by different things. It's not always the same. So let us not easily think that, oh, I'm more patient than the other person when we just view one area. You know, this area doesn't always easily provoke and always become impatient. But different ones of us may have different areas where we are more easily provoked. Of course, this doesn't mean that there's no such thing as one person being more patient than another. There is. But it's helpful to note that different ones of us are provoked by different things. For example, all of us may find it a bit difficult to endure long-windedness, but some of us more so than others. Of course, here is also there can be a difference in value of looking at it subjectively. Some people may appreciate something as very good. It takes time to elaborate. It's very helpful. Another may say it's just long-windedness. I mean, there can be difference of opinion. But the point is this: some people are more easily provoked and find it very difficult to endure this issue of long-windedness. But there are others who are not so easily provoked in this area. They can just sit down and maybe a little bit affected, but not as severely. Well, there can be others who are more provoked in the area of inefficiency. If you're inefficient, you just cannot stand. Others can be very tolerant about this area. And this doesn't necessarily mean that if you're intolerant, it means you're more efficient. It doesn't necessarily mean that you belong to a category that's more efficient. Or some people can be very intolerant about clumsiness in other people's lives, or people who are very slow. It just irritates you. You just can't take it. Some of us have problems in this area. Some of us cannot tolerate untidiness. Some of us find it very difficult to tolerate people who make mistakes, who do things that are not correct. Of course, sometimes forgetting that actually all of us do make mistakes. All of us do have errors in our lives. And here I thought I'll just share with you about this man. He doesn't exist in real life, but many of you are probably familiar with him. If you remember the story, the film, My Fair Lady. There are not many good films nowadays in the market. But this is one film that, as far as I'm aware, I don't think I have any hesitation in recommending in your own time, and just come to sit down and relax and enjoy yourselves. And especially the English, in the film. There's a lot of very good English in this film. Well, Professor Higgins has his own special area of problem. You know what his area of problem? That tends to make him impatient. Well, his area of special problem is in the area of women. And if you remember, some of you who have seen this, he says that let a woman in your life and patience haven't got a chance. And he tells us why this is so. Women are irrational. That's all there is to that. Their heads are full of cotton, hay and rags. There are nothing but exasperating, irritating, vacillating, calculating and infuriating hacks.
Let a woman in your life and you're up against the wall. Make a plan and you'll find he has something else in mind. And so rather than do either, you do something else that neither likes at all. Well, that is Professor Higgins' special problem. But not all of us would share Higgins' sentiments and his views in this area. Many of us appreciate friendship and fellowship with the parasex, and many of us appreciate many of them who are gentle and kind. And also there are some of us who may find rather difficult to go through life without a suitable lady as a life partner. So not all of us will view all these things in the same way. Not all of us are provoked by the same manner. Well, here I would just want to qualify that even though a person may long very much for a life partner and have this kind of view, doesn't mean that this person will be very patient. It doesn't always go together. However, as we consider this factor of the difficulty of the circumstances, I see that it's helpful to bear in mind the aggravating circumstances, but take note that here, how difficult are the circumstances, and here is in relation to the particular individual, not necessarily to all, as different areas may affect different people, but the difficulty and how taxing and how difficult is the situation for that particular person only mitigates the issue, but it does not excuse impatience. It only mitigates in the sense that it only reduces the degree of blameworthiness or the degree of fault in the way God looks at us. So in other words, the more taxing it is, and also depends on how fierce and how much is the display of impatience. The situation is very, very difficult and there's slight expression of impatience because you couldn't take it. Well, that still doesn't excuse the whole thing, but it means that how God looks at it, he doesn't look at it so serious. But if out of very slight things and you show great impatience and the manner of manifestation is very severe, then of course God looks at it in a far more serious way. So the difficulties there has to do with helping us to understand the situation we are going through or others are going through and how God looks at it. But let us remember that no matter how difficult the circumstances, impatience is never excused by God. In other words, he says it doesn't matter at all. Impatience is always wrong. Because once you are impatient, it means that we are no longer in tune with God, at least for that particular occasion, in that action. We have done something we ought not. Something that God is not pleased with. And here is helpful to bear in mind that many of us, when we think of this area, we always tend to excuse ourselves and just blame it on the circumstances, blame it on the provocation. You provoke me, or the circumstances provoke me, whether we utter it aloud to someone or in our own hearts, we just justify ourselves and say, well, it's the circumstances. That is why I react in this way. It's the circumstances. But let us remember that it is actually rather foolish for us to do this. And it will not do us any good to just throw it at the circumstances and blame the circumstances. Because if we have actually lost our patience, there is blameworthiness on our part and God will hold us accountable. If there is no blameworthiness, there will not be any impatience. I now want to go on to another area, another factor that affects our exercise of patience, and here I see as an area that is very important, and I subdivide into 2 points. The first is in the point of spiritual strength, and in particular this area, these 2 points would be very relevant to us to desire to develop real patience. Not just to overcome a specific situation, but to develop this real quality of patience in our lives. And firstly, I want to talk about spiritual strength and link together with the strength of our spirit. How strong is our spirit? The other is the development of the strength of our will, and related to this also the strength of conviction that we develop. Now all these are rather related areas and I would lump them all together. Spiritual strength, how strong is our spirit, our will, and the strength of our conviction. all these are rather important as we seek to develop patience and to exercise patience. For example, a person may, in all sincerity, desire to honor the Lord, desire to please God. And there may be situations that tend to make the person lose patience, and he may try very hard not to lose patience in that situation. But because there isn't sufficient spiritual strength to contain ourselves, or to continue to persevere in patience, for example, as I mentioned, areas of laboring for God, especially under spiritual pressure and difficulties, to continue in a certain direction as the Lord desires of us, or to contain ourselves and continue to entrust ourselves to God, we lose our patience. Not because we have no desire to honor God, not because we deliberately want to do something that grieves the heart of God, but we just do not have sufficient strength to go through it properly. At this point, I thought I would just mention this point that sometimes people around us may mistake true exercise of patience for timidity. This person dare not act, that's why he, you know, although the situation is so provoking, people, you know, provoke him, do such unjust things, and still he doesn't react. So people may take it as a sign of timidity or weakness. But let us remember that true patience, as we have been discussing, the ability to control ourselves, to look to the Lord, to trust God, and carry on the way He desires of us, true patience requires real strength of character, real spiritual strength. Because without real spiritual strength and strength of character, you will not be able to work out in this way. So such a person is not easily shaken. He's not easily provoked to react in a way that he ought not. It's not a sign of weakness at all, but on the contrary, it requires real strength, real spiritual strength. I want to go to the second sub-point, that is again closely linked to the first one. And here I'd like to elaborate a bit more. That is the area of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity, which is linked to stability. And this again was linked to reliability, steadfastness in a person's life, in the direction that God desires of him. And in particular, I would emphasize that in our desire to develop our patience, a very crucial area that has to be properly dealt with, in fact, at the very heart of the problem of why we lose our patience, and the area that constantly is a source where an evil one attacks us and where we manifest impatience, is in the area of the self-life that has to be properly dealt with. The self-life. And here, the issue becomes clearer if we remember that at the heart of the issue of patience, at the heart of the issue of patience, which we saw earlier, has to do with a person walking in tune with God and doing what God desires, though the factors present may tend to cause us to act otherwise. The factors present may tend to cause us to act otherwise, but yet we still continue to walk in tune with God, faithful to God. On the other hand, impatience basically would be one who gives way to the self-life, as opposed to one walking in tune with God. Well, we can put it the other way. Walking according to the Spirit or walking according to the flesh. If you're walking according to the Spirit, you'll be exercising patience, and the fruit of the Spirit will be manifested. You'll be walking the way the Lord desires of you, and patience would be manifested. But on the other hand, impatience being manifested has a lot to do basically with not walking according to the Spirit, in tune with God, but giving way to self-life and the weaknesses of the flesh. So, a few areas, for example, one, the area that often impatience is manifested is in the area of how the self may be hurt. Because you are hurt, you are aroused, and you begin to react in many ways that the Lord is not pleased with. But you react in that way because the self is hurt, and you are aroused. So, you begin to act. You are provoked, and fleshly impatient expressions begin to be manifested. In the same way, to patiently labor at something that is tedious and difficult, especially in spiritual service, requires spiritual strength and the Lord to enable us. But a person who just lives according to the dictates of the flesh, finds it tedious, finds it difficult, he'll easily give up. Now why does he give up? Especially when he recognizes that this is something the Lord desires. He gives up because he's not able to continue to keep on being in tune with God, to walk by the Spirit, and he gives way to the flesh, to the self-life, the self-desires, self-inclinations, and he's not able then to persevere. Of course, this again links very much to spiritual strength. The first point, the earlier point we were talking about. Lack of the strength to persevere spiritually, you give way to the flesh, and you give way to your self-desires. So then these two areas are very important. The self-life needs to be properly dealt with, and this coupled with spiritual strength will then lead on to what Jesus tells us about basic discipleship. Anyone who desires to be a disciple, he says, you must deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. And if you examine these words, you will find that they are very helpful and very relevant to our consideration of patience and this whole subject we are talking about the self-life that needs to be dealt with and the following God and being in tune with God. Because if we learn how to deny ourselves and to take up the cross and to follow the Lord, we will be always exercising patience. Is it not so? If we are always obedient to God, following Him, not according to our own dictates, and we continue to follow the Lord, obedient to Him, in tune with Him, then there will not be any exercise of impatience, any manifestations of impatience. Denying yourself, taking up the cross and following the Lord. So the self, the denial of self, the self-life, self-desires, self-ways of doing things, including things that I say, you may be good things that you want to do, but you do it in your own way, in your own strength. The other, taking up the cross. Again, the cross reminds us of hardships and difficulties. Then the means of difficulties of one kind or another, it can be many different kinds. Yet, steadfastly, we follow the Lord. Take up the cross and follow the Lord. Not follow according to what people tell us, according to our own whims and desires, according to some fanciful ideas, but following the Lord. That is true biblical patience, following the Lord. Steadfastly following the Lord. So in other words, such a man will be steadfastly in tune with the Lord, obedient to God. Even though difficult, patiently, you will continue to endure and to carry on. And such a person will go through even difficult situations rather well and not just ability to go through but with a lot of frustrations and upheaval deep within us. And I see this is quite helpfully expressed for us in Psalm 37. I see here a few verses in Psalm 37 that expresses how we ought to go through life, including difficult situations, the right manner of approach. Psalm 37, from verse 7. You see, Psalm 37 starts with, do not fret, do not fret. And fret is really linked to this sense of impatience that comes over us. This do not fret. And here it's not, there are no reasons, there are reasons. Because of evildoers. Even though they are evil, do not fret. Well, I'll not read through the whole psalm, but just this part from verse 7 onwards. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing, for evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. So here, it tells us not to fret, and not just go through the situation without throwing a big temper, but tells us how to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath, do not fret. But rather, there's the sense in verse 9 of waiting for the Lord with a deep sense of confidence that this is the proper course of action and it will not be a vain thing. It will be a profitable thing. Because yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more and you will look carefully for his place and he will not be there. Verse 11. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. And first of all, we should not go through. Not just we do not
do many terrible things outwardly, but even within us, in our hearts, there should not be a lot of fretting and a lot of turmoil and anger and fermenting within, but the resting in the Lord, waiting patiently for Him, trusting Him, and with the confidence that such an attitude and approach to life, resting in the sovereign God, will not be in vain, but blessings will come the way of those who walk in this manner. Not just mentally recognizing to be so, but because this truth we are deeply convicted about and we are reminded of these things, we meditate on them, we are able then, even going through provocating situations, to go through calmly, our hearts rejoicing, trusting in God, patiently waiting for Him, knowing that He will not be in vain, but knowing that we will delight ourselves in abundant prosperity. Verse 11, abundant prosperity. So it's important as we seek to go through life with true patience that we should not take personal offense for things. We should not take personal offense. That doesn't mean that we are never troubled by anything in the sense that we are upset and look at certain things and it affects us and we can be strongly aroused that things ought not to be this way. It does not mean we cannot be aroused. We can be, but it should not be a personal offense. I'm personally hurt. That is why I'm going to react like that. That's why I feel this way. But rather, the whole perspective has to do with how God looks at the situation and how God wants us to act in that situation, and we do so accordingly. How does God want me to respond in this situation? So back again to the whole question of being in tune with God. So we don't take personal offense, but how does God want me to respond? And at times the Lord may want us to take firm action, that is true, and we do so. Even though it may be very difficult, we will still act. But the main thing is, it should not become a personal kind of thing in the sense that because I'm hurt, that is why I must hit back, or I must do this and I must do that. But prayerfully looking to the Lord. And remember that if we want to maintain true patience, it's not just the outward act in itself that has to be right, but the whole manner of approach, the heart's attitude, the prayerfulness, the sense of keeping in tune with God, in touch with God, walking step by step with Him, that is crucial. That is part of spiritual maturity, stability, a life that is properly dealt with by God. So here I want to emphasize that when we talk about patience and the importance of patience in a Christian's life, we should not be merely concerned about specific occasions, although that is important. You may say I'm a very patient man, but on all specific occasions you keep on losing your patience, that is not very good. But ultimately, we should not be merely concerned that in this situation, I managed to overcome it. In that situation, I managed to overcome it. But ultimately, what God is very concerned about, and what all of us should be very concerned about, is the development of the inward quality. And there is such a quality as patience in each of us, that it becomes a part of our character, and it grows in depth, in quality. And this takes place through time. It develops through time. But it doesn't come automatically. It develops through time as we cooperate with God, as we continue to abide in the Lord and let Him abide in us in His fullness, and then our character continually being transformed, and more this fruit of the Spirit becomes increasingly evident in our lives. But as I said, the true quality being developed is one that is not just merely a certain situation we are able to exercise. Because how difficult was that situation? There are many factors involved in it, but ultimately the important thing is the inward quality must be developed. So it's not a question of the inside all boiling and all being eaten up, but being able to take it well with a deep sense of the joy and the peace of God we carry on. As I mentioned in the previous message also, the fruit of the Spirit begins with love, joy, peace before it comes to patience. The love, the joy, and the peace of God in our hearts. We go through this, even though it's difficult, the love, the joy, and the peace of God continue to reign in our hearts. This does not mean we never get angry, we're never aroused, but it's only for the proper reasons as well as in a manner that is acceptable to God. Not just a human reaction to the whole thing, but God's perspective, in a manner that God is pleased with. For example, a proper zeal for God's name, and a need to act at certain, on certain occasions. So here I would just make this note of observation that as we go through various situations of life, it's helpful for us to bear in mind that at times it takes courage and faith to launch out and to act. And this is so. At times we have to. And it takes a man of courage, faith, and strength to launch out when we ought to, as the Lord expects us and directs us. But on the other hand, there are times where it can be very difficult and it requires great spiritual strength and maturity to calmly wait for God's timing and for God's ways to be expressed. Although even in such situations, when we do wait, it is not in a passive manner, but as the situation requires, actively praying, actively doing our part, but yet not acting when it's not yet time to act in a particular manner, that is. So different occasions may call forth different things. But it doesn't mean that always waiting is a good thing. There are times when the Lord wants us to act, and it may require great faith to launch out. So when the Lord desires of us, it takes courage and faith and strength to launch out. But there are times that it requires great strength also to calmly wait for God's timing. Well, the next point, I will not elaborate, although it is an important point. But in the area of exercising of patience, another factor that is helpful is the support of others. Prayer support as well as encouragement and fellowship. And it's helpful for all of us to remember that different ones of us go through different trials and struggles and difficulties. And at certain periods, a person may be going through a more intensely difficult time, where the person may tend to give rise to impatient actions and words and not able to go through the time properly with God. And we mustn't just look at situations whereby people manifest it outwardly, then we say, yeah, not very difficult, the person, you know, cannot contain. There are some people who do not manifest it outwardly, but within, the deep frustration, the boiling, the turmoil and all that that goes within, that is still, I won't just say the same thing, but at the heart of it is the same problem. And some of this can be worse. All the turmoil and all that can be eating away many things from within. So as we have seen earlier on, true patience is not just ability to contain ourselves in the sense that we do not outwardly manifest in a terrible way, but deep within, how do we go through it? So the prayer support, the encouragement, the fellowship of others is also a very important factor. And some of us can find some situations very difficult to go through properly, but when others encourage us, share with us, support us, pray for us, then we may find ourselves much more able to go through. I'm sure many of us have experienced this in our lives. So we find that it's not just on our own crying out to God, but the degree that we have been properly integrated into the life of the body and the support that others offer to us is a rather significant factor in helping us to go through our lives and our walk with God properly. Well, I will now go on to another few brief observations on this subject of patience. Now I'm no longer on the factors affecting exercise of patience, but I want to go on to just a few brief observations. Firstly, it's helpful constantly to bear in mind when we talk about true patience for a Christian, is that there must be a framework how true patience works out. This is very important. A framework. And that framework, basically, I'll see in two main areas. The framework, I mean the basis of outworking of patience. And I will list two major aspects. One is biblical principles and perspective. What the Word of God has to say, correctly interpreted, that is, biblical principles and perspective. And secondly, is the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In other words, how we should respond in a situation, to work out patiently in that situation, cannot be just due to our personal feelings or our inclinations or what we prefer. Neither is it just the expectations of people. People say, if you're patient, you must act like this. You cannot do this and do that. If you do this and do that, you're being impatient. So it cannot be just the demands and expectations of others. This is not a basis. Although it's important at the same time to recognize that we should be open to others and what they have to say, especially those who love the Lord. We should be very open to them, what they have to say. But the basis is not just what people say or what you feel or what you're inclined to do. But true patience is being worked out in the framework of the biblical principles. So constantly as we seek to walk in tune with God, we have to understand the revelation of God in His Word. And together with that, the lively sense of looking to God, and this is crucial, not just in terms of the printed page and the principles that we seek to study and try to understand with our minds, but the guidance of the Spirit is a lively thing. The many situations of life, at times the Lord may want us to act in a certain way for us to keep in tune with Him constantly. Prayerfully, we have to look to the Lord to guide us. When we should act, how we should act, how to understand the situation, so that all that we do will be truly pleasing in His sight. So when the Holy Spirit guides us in one way, we act in another way, because we can't wait, or because we are provoked, that will be impatience. So these two aspects are important, biblical principles, and the other, the guidance of the Spirit of God in our lives. Other aspects can be linked to this, but I would not want to comment on them now, like what others have to say, to the degree that they help us to understand the principles of the Word, to the degree they help us to keep in tune with God and so on. I will not mention all those things that comes through fellowship, through teaching the Word and so on. Second observation is this, that patient and wise conduct does not guarantee good response from other people. So let us not become unduly upset just because people respond in a way that grieve our heart. We may be patient and wise in a certain situation, but it does not guarantee that there will be good response from other people. Although it is clearly true that patient, wise conduct would be the best possible conduct in the situation, the most fruitful. But the most fruitful does not mean that everyone will appreciate it. Everyone will positively respond to it. So just because there is some negative response, let us not conclude that that conduct has been impaired. It has not been wise nor patient. For example, it may be a true expression of patience, and yet people may regard us as timid, or they may still regard us as harsh. Although when we need to make a stand, it's not due to any selfish reasons, but in all sincerity, we believe the Lord wants us to make a stand, and we may be considered as harsh. Or, although we may be patiently seeking to work out our lives, other people may still regard us as impatient. And this can be due to various reasons. They may disagree with our view of things, our conduct, or it may be due to misinterpretation, or it may be due to misunderstandings that may crop up. But the thing is, if we walk in tune with the Lord, we are patient, we cannot improve upon it. It's the best that we can, and we just have to entrust the rest to the Lord. But as I said, it's helpful for us not to too quickly conclude that we are patient, that it's all the fault of other people and tendencies along those lines. But this is the other side of it, just to mention so that we not become unduly upset and blame ourselves because things go wrong. Because at times, even if we act rightly, the result may not always be what we would hope it to be. The next point is that patience can and should go together with a sense of urgency of mission. As I said, sometimes we have a wrong concept, impression of patience. We always tend to think of a patient old man. The patient old man is one who walks very slowly, slowly, slowly. And slowness, when we think of a patient man, we tend to think of a slow man. But slowness is not true biblical patience. You can be a very patient man with a deep sense of urgency of the task, and you work very hard, actively, earnestly, to the fullness of all that the Lord has entrusted. You seek to develop your faculties and work hard, and yet you, in tune with God, you seek to work out your lives patiently. So it can go together with this deep sense of urgency of the mission, the task. But the important part has to do with the walking step by step with God, in tune with Him and His timing. That is at the heart of it. But the deep sense of urgency must be there. So we do not run ahead. If we run ahead, then adjectives like rash, hasty, and all this can be applied, or impatient. Nor should we be lagging behind. And then lagging behind can be various reasons. be due to passivity, lacking diligence, lacking in faith, at whatever else you want. So you should not be running ahead of what the Lord desires, nor lagging behind, but walking step by step in tune with Him, but always with a deep sense of urgency, because this is what the Lord desires. If you're in tune with God, there should be a deep sense of earnestness and urgency, because in God's heart, He is deeply concerned about the situation in the world. Things are happening very fast. Many things are going on. Are we doing our part? Each day, time passes by. Are we growing? Are we able to fit into God's program and God's purposes for mankind? Next point, and here I'm coming to the end of consideration of this issue of patience. I see it's helpful to bear in mind that true patience is definitely one that is not pessimistic. Neither is it one that is resigned to a situation. Situation is difficult, you're resigned to it. That's why you're not acting, you're not reacting, so you're resigned to it, and that may give the semblance of patience, but it is not. True patience is never pessimistic nor resigned to a situation, but it always has to have this ingredient of the actively looking to God, to cooperate with Him, as well as with a sense of steadfast hope. And this is the part that I would want to emphasize, that it will, that we have a correct perspective of patience. There is the sense of hope, the sense of direction, the sense of future glory to come. And this is crucial. In many difficult situations, we must have this future sense of hope and glory, the eternal perspective, the recognition that the conduct that God desires of us to bear patiently, enduring through that situation, will not be in vain. As the scripture tells us, your toil, your labor in the Lord will not be in vain. We also know in the parable of the sower, and in Luke chapter 8 verse 15, how we are told to bring forth fruit with patience or with perseverance. Perseverance or patience, the meaning is applicable. You can also use the word patience, because you need patience to bring forth fruit. So it's helpful always to bear in mind this, that it's not a pessimistic or kind of just let go, resign, let go. But it's rather a very positive kind of stance that we take, and beyond the pain to see the glorious goal. That is a man of patience, able to see beyond the pain and the struggles and the endurance, to know that it's not in vain. Beyond the pain to see the glorious goal and the hope and the eternal kingdom of God, and to know that how we go through our lives on earth will make a difference in eternity. It's not a vain kind, in not toiling in vain. And so here, in the concluding our consideration, at this point, we look at Hebrews chapter 12 to look at the example of the Lord Jesus. How He goes through with this sense that we are talking about, beyond the pain to see the glorious goal, to go through with courage, with steadfastness. Hebrews chapter 12 is actually a continuation of Hebrews chapter 11 on faith, a life of faith. How to lay aside every encumbrance and sin, and to run the race with endurance. And endurance, as we've seen, is closely linked with patience. You can also translate patience if you want. To run the race with patience, the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is our example. How does He go through it? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. See, who for the joy set before Him. He knew He was not going to be in vain. And that is the way we should exercise patience. Not going through a very hard time and just resign to it. Okay, I should not react, so I don't react. And then our heart just sink. Why must it be me? Of all people. And some people say, taomei. Why must it be me? Of all people to go through this kind of situation. And you just say, oh, I cannot react, so I just take it. But rather, it's this way. A very positive approach. Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. There's a joy that's set before Him. He knows that, Jesus knows, as He goes through that life that's difficult, painful, it will not be in vain. And that is what happened. He now sits down at the right hand of the throne of God. Philippians 2, we are familiar with that, how he humbled himself and endured even to the death of the cross, and God highly exalted him. And we, following the same example of the Lord Jesus, will go through the same path. If indeed we are faithful, we also patiently go through, we will also be richly rewarded and exalted by the Lord in his own time. Of course, the beautiful part is that as Christians, we know that it's not only the future that we look forward to that's going to be very glorious and meaningful, but even on earth, it is a very enriching experience of growing depth of knowledge of God and the fellowship of God as we patiently go through, steadfastly go through difficult times, patiently going through with God. Now, this is something that I earnestly pray and hope that each one of us will enter into. The deep sense of joy and peace of God and the richness of life, and the more difficult the situations, if we learn how to go through with God, the deeper can be our experience of God and the power of God, and the deeper understanding and appreciation of the sovereignty of God, the grace of God, the comfort of God. In fact, many of the richest things in God are the things that we most deeply enter into as we go through the most trying of situations. I say it doesn't mean we go and look for trouble. Trouble will come and look for us. But let us not become pessimistic, downcast, disheartened, but realize that God knows how much we can take. He regulates, but he desires to refine us, to transform us, and desire us to learn how to draw closer to him in the midst of pain, suffering, sick, illnesses. So we need to go through with courage, with steadfastness, with patience, and that requires spiritual staying power. Spiritual staying power. Let us spend some time to evaluate our lives before the Lord as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let us look to the Lord that he may speak to us. Consider our lives before him. Are our lives truly pleasing before him in all areas? I hope that you will not just take these words lightly, and as we partake of the Lord's Supper week by week, we share some of these things for you to meditate. Let it not fall on deaf ears, because it is very important that continually we do reflect through our lives to get ourselves right before God and not harden our hearts. Let us reflect through in all sincerity and openness before God. Are all areas of our lives truly pleasing before God? Are we in tune with him? Walking in a manner really pleasing before him? Or are we walking in our own ways? Do we react to situations according to our self-desires, self-hurt and so on? Or are we really looking at situations from God's point of view, seeking to walk by the Spirit and not indulge in the desires of the flesh? What is it that provoke us and stir us up? Is it over the right things? And is our manner of response the correct one? Not just the external actions, but what about the heart? Is it with deep love, compassion, thank God? Prayerfully going through all situations as he desires of us. Let us also look to him that he will transform us and help us to develop spiritual strength and maturity. That indeed we will not just be overcoming specific situations, but indeed our character will be transformed, our lives will mature before him, that we will be able long term to live a life really effective before God, bearing fruit in every good work. Our Father in heaven, we praise you and worship you, for we know that you've been very gracious to us. We thank you also for your patience with our lives. Father, we acknowledge that in many ways we have often walked our own ways. We have responded to situations according to our own liking and feelings. We have not been in tune with you and act according to what you desire of us. Oh Father, we cry out to you that you will forgive us, you will cleanse us. We pray that you will strengthen us. Help us that we will not take these things lightly. That we will not trifle with your grace and your patience. For we know that you are patient with us because you desire us to walk aright. you're patiently waiting for us to walk aright, not that we may abuse your love for us. And so we ask that, Lord, you help us, that we will not be slow, nor harden our hearts and minds in any way, but we ask that, Lord, you will continue to deal with our lives, chasten us, chastise us, and discipline us according to your love, your wisdom, your righteousness. Oh Father, we pray that you help us, that indeed we may learn to examine our lives before you, that we will learn to be harder with ourselves, to be more strict with ourselves, rather than to be so harsh with others. And we pray that you help us, that even as you have in your grace and your love led us through many situations of life in order to train us, help us to be sensitive to you, to cooperate with you, that we will not go through life in vain, at the end of it to come before you in shame. Oh God, we pray that you continue to be gracious and merciful to us. Even now we ask that you cleanse us from all our sins. We pray, Father, that you will bless the bread and bless the wine for us. We pray that you will help us to continue to focus our hearts and minds on the Lord Jesus as our perfect example of patience and faith. Live a life that is always pleasing in your sight, that not only our external acts may be right, but the attitudes of our hearts may really please your heart. Thank you for the fellowship that we can have in you, the fellowship we have with one another. We pray that you'll continue to help us to learn to encourage one another in this direction of life, living moment by moment, the fullest that we know how, in all earnestness, seeking that your will may be done in our lives. All this we pray and commit to you, in Jesus' precious name.